This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
And subhanAllah, if you do this, then he will be, careful when dealing with others. Yeah. Get it? It's very good. Yeah. I did that once. And I never intend to do that again. Yeah, when I was in Medina in the first year, I hate injustice and oppression. So I see one giant person in our classroom. So subhanAllah, it looks like he's the only one who can talk in the class and nobody can talk. Yeah, remember the time he smacked somebody from Tanzania? I really got annoyed with that, you know. So I'm just waiting for the time when he will. Yeah, so the sheikh asked some questions, I talk, and then he shouted. And subhanAllah, and that person, I think he's 2 times or 3 times of my size, you know. So I told him if he's not careful, I'm going to kill him in this place, you know. And the guy got scared. He thought I was... And subhanAllah, if he is to stand up and come, I will... And subhanAllah, the sheikh was telling me, please, patient, Ibrahim, but... Yeah, I know myself. I'm just ready to run away. But alhamdulillah, it works. And we became friends after that. Yeah, he stopped what he's doing in the class and we became friends after that. Yeah. Anyway, so that was an idea by Ibn Hazm. But try your best to know where to apply it. You know, sometimes it will never work. You know. Yeah, but this is what to do with the person who is wicked, who thinks he has right over others. You shouldn't forgive. Yeah. Sometimes we forgive out of kindness, this is good, but we have to remember that the public also has interest. Forgiving him can put the community into trouble. So you look for your right from A to Z. Even if afterwards you are going to... I think we lost the connection. Even afterwards, let's say you might go and give him back what he has paid, but at first you should hold him responsible for what he did first. But the righteous people, you're supposed to forgive them. Any other words? Oh, finish. That's the last question. Alhamdulillah. Any other question from here?
Yesterday I spoke to a brother and I invited him to pray 11 rak'ah with us because it was sunnah. But then Mazin, he said that...
Mazin, maybe... okay, alhamdulillah. He got scared of you and come back. What happened?
So, Sheikh, I met a brother yesterday and I advised him to come pray in a masjid with 11 and I told him that this was the sunnah and that he would, inshallah, get more reward. But then he told me that he was going to pray in the main masjid instead where they prayed 20. And the reason he gave was he quoted the hadith that the prayer of 2 is better than 1 and 3 is better than 2. And he said since the main masjid is filled with...
Which hadith is this?
He sent me a hadith. And
the one that we can apply it, Makan Akthar, okay, now I got the hadith.
So then he said that, so by that logic, so isn't it also sunnah to pray in a masjid with more people than to pray like 11?
We should tell him that applying the sunnah of the Prophet should be done in the correct way. Rasulullah is talking about the prayers where originally jama'ah is prescribed for it. The wajibat is supposed to be in jama'ah. Sunnah prayers are supposed to be done individually. To have people praying next to you is questionable. Even some scholars don't agree with this, unless if it happens coincidentally. Get it? Taraweeh, Rasulullah never invited people to come and pray behind him. They came, Taraweeh. He never said people come and pray. And wait, Adam. Rasulullah never invited people to come and pray behind him. But he came out of his house to the masjid to pray. And then people saw him, they prayed behind him. He accepted that. That's what we call coincidence. Yeah. So it happens, the Prophet ﷺ tolerated it. That means it's okay to do that. Yeah. So the next day, the Prophet ﷺ did not come out. And they did that by themselves. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, I saw what you guys did, and it was good. So to say that initially this is how it should be done, no. But it's something that the Prophet ﷺ tolerated and he accepted, then we do it. And later on, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you can stand with the Imam, if you manage to pray with the Imam until the end of the prayer, Allah SWT will write for you Qiyam later. And in the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, and by the way, we're not saying 20 is incorrect, but the Sunnah and the choice of Rasulullah ﷺ is 11. If somebody wants to pray 20 rakat, Ibn Taymiyyah says it's okay according to the manhaj of the Salafus Saleh. But what was the choice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? 11. He prayed 11 also in the masjid with them. And also after him, Umar asked people to pray only 11. That's how they go. Yeah. So the thing is, which one is better? A Muslim should be looking for the best, the thing that is better for him. No doubt, nobody will tell you that praying more than 11 is better for you. No, because there is no base for this. Cannot have a base for this. Because if you talk about the congregation, Rasulullah was the first person who prayed the sunnah, that sunnah in jama'ah. How did he do? Only 11. Umar combined people also on 11 rakat. So that's the best to be done. And that hadith is misapplied by him, for sure.